Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Fantasy drafts are underway with opening night now just 3 short weeks away. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you on today's episode. We'll tackle mock draft 1.0, discuss ADP, early rounds, stacking, and general strategies. What's going on, Jakey? How are you, buddy?
Music to my ears when you just said fantasy draft rooms are open. I always get a little sad, like I think a lot of people, when summer starts to wind down, but the best cure for that is fantasy hockey drafts and the NHL season coming up in just a matter of weeks here, Nick.
So, Means, great to see you and Petey as well, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, what the hell did Nick Alberga just say? So please, a lay of the land of what we're about to discuss on today's podcast.
Yeah, Pete and I joined a mock draft, 12 people, there were 10 other people in there, and you know, we had 30 seconds per pick, and we just rolled through. I think there were roughly 16 rounds, 16 plus, 18, I think, and yeah, we'll just get a good feel. You know, we'll talk about some of the trends, where goalies went, some strategy behind, you know, drafting, and Nick, you know, I just suggest that everyone tries a couple mocks before you get in there. Get your feet wet before you get in your home league. Just kind of get a feel of the board and you know, try a different couple builds.
So, Pete, I was over at NHL.com/fantasy, and I think I saw Connor McDavid first overall, and then I go to your mock draft, and a guy named Pete Jensen's got the first overall pick, and he takes Nathan MacKinnon. Please explain.
Right, so we have 2/3 majority at NHL.com, so okay. If I think one thing and then Means and our other guy, Troy Perlowitz, shout out to him for all his work. If they think the other way, then we go with that tie. I am a big fan of McDavid. I do have some team concerns, of course, though, especially we saw, right, Freddie Anderson, since we last talked, is going to miss a portion of the first month because of injury, possibly. So
shocker there.
I just worry about what is the floor of the Edmonton Oilers. McDavid's always going to put up those garbage points, those high 5-6 point games and stuff like that, but I like the team surrounding MacKinnon a lot more, and the shots on goal coverage, the even strength points are always at the top of the league for Mac.
I think I'm with Pete on MacKinnon at one. Look, I mean, if you take McDavid at one, I think you're gonna get a great player as well. We all know what all these guys are capable of, but I would go MacKinnon, Nick, at number one personally. And again, you're picking between the best players in the world here. I find the first round fascinating. Mm-hmm. Not even just the top of the board. In this mock draft, we do see Macklin Celebrini go 3 ahead of Nikita Kucherov. Imagine getting Kuch at 4. And if you take it further down, Leon Draisaitl at 5, David Pastrnak a little further down. I think if you have that mid-first round pick, you're gonna be just fine. If you're worried on missing out on the top 3, the top 4 big boys, there's some real, real strong names going in the middle of that first round, Nick.
Yeah, that's the fun part for me, I think, looking at this mock draft 1.0 and round 1 specifically. I mean, you can debate until you're blue in the face who goes first overall. They're going to be studs. Macklin Celebrini, we expect a bit of a push this season. We see in this mock draft, he goes 3rd overall. Like Kucherov, maybe you sleep on him a bit. Every year he seems to be in the debate for the Art Ross Trophy. More times than not, he actually wins the Art Ross Trophy. I think we're sleeping on Leon Draisaitl this year, Means, which is weird to say because he went 5th overall in this mock draft, but we all know know his capabilities. This guy can finish the season and be the number one overall fantasy player.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He can lead the NHL in goals, you know, 50 plus we've seen before, and be among the leaders in shots. And, you know, just to go back to the top of the board, I think it just depends on your settings. If, you know, you're in a points league with more shots, you know, Nate is probably the pick. But last year in a league with power play points, you know, McDavid had roughly 25 more than Nathan MacKinnon. So there's a little bit of a boost there. But Draisaitl falling down to five this time last year, he was in that conversation, you know, in the top three, top four. So I think the biggest thing here for me, the first five picks are going to be the first five picks in, I would say, 95% of leagues, draft leagues. What happens if you have pick six? Do you want to go kill Makar? Do you want to take David Pastrnak, Kirill Kaprizov? I think the couple players here, Jake, that have jumped up into the top first round that haven't been there over the past, Nick Suzuki's in this first round, Zach Werenski is in this first round. What do you do at six? Do you take Kill Makar, or what we talked about in the last podcast, you know, you could maybe wait a little bit, get Werenski, get a Hughes, get an Evan Bouchard if you want to attack defense in the first two rounds.
Kill Makar is very tempting just because I cross off that D spot. There's only a couple guys that can do what Kill Makar can do. Quinn Hughes, Zach Werenski, they're in that category as well. At six, Nick, I don't know if I'm going for Makar in that spot. I think I'd rather a Kaprizov or maybe a David Pastrnak. Nick Suzuki was a surprise to me in this first round. Not that we're putting him in this conversation. I mean, the guy had a 100-point season. He was excellent. I don't think Montreal is going to take a step back this year. But at nine, I do feel like Suzuki's that's a little rich for my blood, Nick. I don't think I'd be thinking Suzuki till at least the second round.
Pete, did you want to chime in there?
Just wanted to talk up Kaprizov and a full season of the Minnesota Wild having Quinn Hughes, hopefully. I know there's that contract situation looming. The best thing that the Wild can do is go out there and blitz opponents offensively with that trio of Kaprizov, who I would take as early as six or seven for sure, maybe even over Makar. And then you got also Boldy and Quinn Hughes in the second round of this mock draft. So this team is loaded. I know they're in the tough division, of course, with Dallas and Colorado, but they're going to put up some massive offensive numbers. Don't be surprised to see all three of those guys get to 95, 100 points this season.
And so, Petey, you talk about Dallas. I had a lot of free time being in Europe for a couple of weeks by myself, sitting on the beach, just thinking about fantasy hockey, obviously. But I had a couple people reach out specifically about Dallas and the debate up top, Jason Robertson or Mikko Rantanen. For me, it's a simple answer, and I understand Robertson's on a contract year. There's just something about that file that continues to scare me. And I look at the career consistency of Mikko Rantanen, who again went in the third round of this mock draft, where you look at a Jason Robertson went 10th overall. Jake, if I were to pit that question to you, Robertson or Rantanen, who's the first guy off the board for you? For me, it's simple. I would take Rantanen every day of the week.
It's a great question, and honestly, one I've thought about quite a bit, looking at lists and kind of getting ready for this fantasy season. You throw Wyatt Johnston in there as well as a third Dallas star that we're talking about in these first two rounds of fantasy hockey. Mikko Rantanen, to me, has been a staple in that top 10. I think the fact that he played less games last year might scare people off, but you look at the per-game numbers for Mikko Rantanen, they were still really solid. They were still what you'd expect out of a top 10 player. So, Meany, I'll throw it to you because you had the 10th pick in this mock draft, and you did go Jason Robertson. So, clearly, you're leaning him. Did you have a thought maybe on the snake on the way back to grab another Dallas star? I see Wyatt Johnston went one pick ahead of you when you took Marty Natchez there with your second pick, but was it an easy decision for you to go Robertson out of those three Dallas stars?
It was. I was trying to get Wyatt as well. You mentioned he went right before me, so I took Martin Natchez. Like, I like to attack shooters in the first couple rounds, and I love Mikko Rantanen. And the shot volume has, and it's a kind of a small sample size since he left Colorado, but the shot volume has come down just a little bit. You have other shooters on that team, especially on the power play, like Jason Robertson, like Wyatt Johnson, who led the entire NHL in power play goals last year. So I'm targeting shooters. You know, Matt Boldy's a guy that kind of fell here. You know, you guys mentioned Nick Suzuki. Again, not a volume shooter. So it was easy for me to take Jason Robertson, you know, get Martin Natchez. I like Wyatt Johnson, but you see where Mikko Rantanen fell, guys. There's no question there's a discount. There's a value here, given what you guys talked about. The time missed last year, didn't play after the Olympics. So in the end of the early third round, that is terrific value for Mikko Rantanen. But I just like to target these shooters, these volume shooters that could score 50. I just don't see that for Mikko Rantanen.
I might lean with Wyatt here. I mean, this guy's getting significantly better every single year. Look at his career goal totals, 24, 32, 33, and then 45 last year. And in addition to the power play goals, leading the league, led the entire NHL in high danger goals last year. So he's cleaning up around the net. He's opportunistic within that stacked Dallas offense. So it's like almost the puck finds him, especially in the clutch throughout his career. He's just getting better and better. So I would love to have Wyatt Johnston in the second round.
You can't go wrong with either one of those three Dallas Stars guys. And I specifically, every year is the case, but I like the Stars quite a bit this year. You just want to know if they can put things together. Even a guy like Ottinger in between the pipes, can he take that next push, that next thrust into being an elite netminder in the NHL, maybe contend for a Vezina Trophy this season? And Jake, that's where I want to shift the conversation next. And we've been having a lot of banter and discussion about the crease in fantasy hockey, how volatile it is. So Connor Hellebuck's like, I'm not going to be here. I don't want to be here. We'll see what happens here in Winnipeg. But for me, my focus changes abruptly with Hellebuck, assuming he's going to get dealt to a contender as opposed to him staying in Winnipeg. I might even jump up the board to select a Connor Hellebuck. How do you feel now that we know that he wants out?
Well, there's obviously some risk involved with the Connor Hellebuck pick, but there's risk involved in really any pick in fantasy hockey. We always talk about injury concerns and things like that. So if you're willing to take the risk on Hellebuck, look, he's not getting traded to a rebuilding team here, guys. No. Whatever team he does land on,
Detroit.
They need a general manager first before they can make any trades. That's just a crazy situation there. But if he does get dealt and he gets dealt to any team in the NHL that's a somewhat of a contender, even a decent team, probably going to be a step above Meany, what he's got in Winnipeg. I'd be willing to roll the dice. This isn't generally the zone where I'm drafting a goaltender. I'm usually looking more in the third, fourth round maybe and try to find value there. So I'm not necessarily the guy personally that's going to jump up and take Hellebuck. But if you do like to draft goalies in these first couple of rounds, I don't blame someone for rolling the dice and thinking, hey, he could land on a legitimate cup contender and I could certainly have the best goalie in fantasy hockey.
Yeah, I just think where he's going here, like where he went at the end of the second, you know, you're passing on a Brady Tkachuk, a Mikko Rantanen we talked about, a Kyle Connor, you got Jack Eichel, Matthew Tkachuk, a lot of just like volume shooters, you know, you can attack the defense position. So I don't want to cross anybody off my list, but I wouldn't be thinking about Connor Hellebuck until the end of the third, and most likely I'm not going to get him. So, you know, Logan Thompson to start the third to Pete, you know, at the end of the third to start the fourth, Sorokin and Shesterkin. You know, there's other goalies here, Wedgwood. I think the fifth round, Jake, you mentioned it, Wedgwood, Swayman, Wallstad. Like, that's a good trio maybe you can target in the fifth. But Bylo and Dynasty, because I do think he's going to land in a good spot for Connor Hellebuck. But if he does stay with the Jets, just don't like the makeup of the squad. And I think it's a little bit too rich at the end of the second.
It's funny, I actually was going to take, with my 24th pick, I took Brady Tkachuk, and then I got 25th
shocker.
Pick, Logan Thompson at 25, and I'm comfortable taking him there because of the Caps offensive upgrades and everything like that. But I was going to take, on that wraparound, because I had the number one pick, mm-hmm. I was going to take Connor Hellebuck because I would be confident in him getting 40-plus wins with 5-plus shutouts going to a contending team. So, yeah, very interesting to think about. Heading into drafts, the risk-reward factor, I would lean towards taking the risk and getting Hellebuck in the late second round.
I'm with you. By the year, it becomes more and more polarizing where less and less goaltenders are playing, say, more than 50 games, where it's become just a timeshare and a split. And especially you look at an 84-game slate, teams are going to do their best with the longer schedule, if you will, to rest these guys. And I think it's seldom to find a guy of the ilk of like a Hellebuck or an Andre Vasilevsky. Pete, I want to go straight back to you. Again, not a shocker that you take Brady Tkachuk, but the Florida Panthers, a lot's been made of what that team has done, most specifically their big-time move. Brady Tkachuk joins his brother, Matthew. How are you attacking the Panthers in general, and more specifically the Tkachuk brothers? We talked about it again. End of the second round, you take Brady. In the third round, Matthew goes.
I really like, they're one of my top teams to stack in fantasy drafts this year. You saw couple of stacks in this mock from the Panthers. I actually stacked two Maple Leafs and multiple Sharks as well. Those are three teams I really like from a stacking standpoint. But yeah, you could take one of the Tkachuk brothers. You could wait a little bit. I saw Verhaeghe went really late in this draft. Seth Jones, rare category coverage on a per game basis last year. He's one of those guys, and Marchand as well, that you can get well outside the top 120 overall. So take one of those guys early. Even a Reinhardt or a Barkov in the top 50 overall, and then stack them with another Panther or two later on in your draft.
I find a lot of people that play in leagues with hits, Brady will go earlier than this. Like, I think in a couple of my leagues, Brady's going to go end of the first, early second. And you're really just drafting him on that upside, that ceiling, and what he can do in terms of his volume, the shots that he's going to give you every single day, and the hits as well. But what we talked about, Jake, in the last episode with some of these Panthers, you know, Carter Verhaeghe went in the last round, second last round. Yeah. Sam Bennett was sitting there for a while. I think, you know, Barkov's a guy that could potentially fall, you know, you see here in the fourth round, but people may be a little uncertain coming off the injury. I know you said before there's just one puck, but there does seem to be a little bit of value early on in draft season, at least mock draft season, with some of these Florida Panther wingers.
And that's exactly how I want to play these stack teams, guys, is, okay, who's the Panther that we're kind of forgetting about? Is it Verhaeghe? Is it Bennett? Okay, I'll try to grab him late. Or even in our Dallas Stars conversation, Nick, of those three guys, which one? Robertson, Rantanen, and Wyatt Johnston. Who's going to be the third man out? Well, that's the guy maybe I'll try to grab some value on. The Washington Capitals as well, a team we haven't mentioned yet on this episode, but we're going to talk a lot about. They sure have a ton of players as well. Who's going to be the capital that's going to fall a little bit? I think that's how I want to play some of these. And also want to mention something strategy-wise Meany brought up earlier. Early rounds, I love to target the volume shooters as well. I see Meany grabbed a Dylan Gunther in the early part of the fourth round. I love that pick. I think I'm going to have a lot of Gunther shares in fantasy hockey this year. Just guys that are going to fire the puck 3, 4, 5 times a game to go along with the points they're going to pick up, Nick.
More times than not, you're looking for value in fantasy drafts. Names that stick out for me, we talked about Hellebuck, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews. Guys are a bit longer in the tooth, but still plenty of game and still at the ceiling, I think, of their career. Rantanen, Kyle Connor, like you're going to be able to find a lot of value here, Means, if you're very patient with your draft too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gunther in the fourth, is as Jake alluded to, and then I went Adrian Kempe in the fifth. You see Sam Reinhart there in the fifth. This time last year, Sam Reinhart was a top 30 pick, right? You know, and now maybe the addition of Brady, he drops a little bit, and to me that screams value given what he can do. But you know, I think again what we talked about, some things that really stand out to me, Jack Hughes and Austin Matthews. These guys were middle of the first round last year. If you're, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th spot, you can maybe get one of those guys. Like, look at this start, Kaprizov, Matthews. Maybe you don't go Suzuki, you go a volume shooter there, and Robertson, Natchez, you can pair him up with a guy like Jack Hughes. So there's terrific value there. William Nylander in the fourth round, I think, is also a terrific value. And then you get into the blue line. You know, you really see the run here, Jake, in round 5 and 6. Radish, Fox, Chychrun. You have Josi, Miro Heiskanen, and Josh Morrissey, McAvoy, John Carlson. It seems like if you don't get the top 5 or 6, you know, that's a spot where you could really get at least a top 10 defenseman.
I know you mentioned Hughes and Matthews there, kind of been grouped together in a lot of rankings, and same thing with this mock draft as well, going side by side. I think I'd prefer Matthews over Hughes if I'm willing to take the injury risk, roll of the dice, just because I think the ceiling, he's proven the ceiling is higher, a guy that could score a ton of goals. We talk about that volume shooter type player, and William Nylander in the middle part of the fourth round in this mock draft, I think is phenomenal value. If he's healthy, if the Leafs offense is clicking, I don't know what they're going to look like defensively, Nick, but I think they could generate a lot of offense this year, and that's great for fantasy hockey. I think Nylander could flirt with 100 points this season. So if you're getting him in the middle of the fourth round, Mitch Marner down there at the back end of the fourth round as well. I know I said I prefer the volume shooters, and that's certainly not Mitch Marner, but he was shooting quite a bit in the postseason. Maybe he carries a little bit of that into the regular season, and we know the point production is always going to be there with him as well.
It's funny, looking at this draft specifically, it really is like you can sort of foresee the changing of the guard, but there's still those regular fixtures. And Pete, it wouldn't be a conversation about drafting unless we said the name Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. So let's break that debate down, because again, these guys are 4,000 years old, but still delivering, especially Sid. Like, he's still a premium player in this fantasy league.
Yeah, it's such a crazy time in the league right now, because you see in drafts, even some of these younger guys, like absolute studs. Lane Hudson went way earlier than we had him by half a round, and same with Schaefer. But then, oh, by the way, I got Ovi at 97, and people are still sleeping on the Pittsburgh Penguins, even if they're going to regress. I mean, Crosby's going to be up there among the league leaders in points with probably 85, 90 at least, maybe even more. They got Chinakhov on that team. as long as Rust and Raquel are healthy, they're dangerous offensively. So I still really like taking Crosby in the early rounds.
Yeah, well, Crosby, you know, you mentioned, what, ninth round for Ovechkin. Crosby here right next to Nylander in the fourth, like, and Barkov. It's a run of three guys. I suppose you can add Stützle in there as well as somebody who may shoot the puck a little bit more this year without Brady there. But, you know, not used to seeing that, you know, with Crosby and Ovechkin falling here. You know, the ninth round, I thought, guys, was pretty interesting, you know, with Ovechkin there. You got Sergei Bobrovsky there as a bounce-back candidate. Zach Hyman, Mark Stone kind of misses time, but when he's healthy, you know, you can kind of view him as a top 25 player. Timo Meier and Dylan Holloway. Like, there's some decent value there in terms of ceiling. Like, we know what Zach Hyman can do. If this guy plays 82 games this year, is he not going to score 35 goals?
He could. I mean, look, with the attachment there and that line combination and what he could potentially be playing with, I think there certainly is potential there for that. Sixth round, front of the sixth round certainly jumps out to me, and you can include back end of the fifth as well. Mina, you went Adrian Kempe late in the fifth, and I'm seeing Artemi Panarin to lead off the sixth round. Nick, I'm curious your take and how you're viewing the LA Kings this year. Panarin's maybe not prime Panarin anymore, and he's a little bit older, and he's not playing in New York, but I think first full season in LA with some pretty decent players in that top six, I'm not going to say he's going to run back his old numbers again, but I think he could have a strong season. Getting him in the early part of the sixth round, I don't mind taking a shot on Panarin this year.
Guys, Los Angeles is so fascinating to me. For as long as I can remember, one of the more boring teams to watch in the NHL, their system, just the way they played the game. And now you bring in Peter Laviolette. A, it's weird to see this guy not coaching in the Metro Division, but number two, I think they're going to open things up. Like, I think it's going to be a different new look approach to the way the LA Kings play offense, at least. Defensively, I wonder about that team. Brent Clark, I think, takes another step this year. Drew Doughty, what is he at this year in his NHL career? But I think to answer your question, I'm actually quite bullish on Artemi Panarin because I expect a lot of offense, and that's why we've been high on the likes of Byfield and Kempe and Fiala. Don't forget about him. Like, I think that's an untapped market, and I think people, just because of what's happened in the past, means they're going to stay away from LA. I'm all over LA in fantasy drafts this season.
Yeah, me too, guys, and I think it's going to be a new look. It's not going to be a sit-back type trap style. I think it's going to be run and go. I think the power play is going to be a lot better, and for Panarin, you know, we're used to seeing this guy be well over a point per game, and that's what he was with the Kings. I think it was like 26, 27 games. He was a point per game player. You can count on 30 goals and 50 assists at least, and again, production on the power play. Quentin Byfield went in the 10th round here, one pick before me, I believe, or close to it, and he's going to be on my radar, you know, in most drafts. And you mentioned Brent Clark in the 9th round here. I just want to highlight the 10th round because we're kind of discussing value here. So Byfield goes, Bo Horvat, John Tavares, Nico Hischier, Nikolai Ehlers, Alex Tuch, and Seth Jarvis, who, you know, you could put in an IR spot. He's going to miss the start of the season. But Jake, terrific value again. John Tavares, Nico Hischier, I just kept seeing them. I had them queued up, and it's like, man, how far are these guys going to fall?
Well, and that kind of goes back to what I said earlier. Players that are amongst a group of really strong forwards, or maybe you throw a defenseman in there as well, where they're not all going to get drafted early and someone's going to get squeezed out, whether it's Nico getting squeezed out by the other Devils, the Brat, the Quinn Hughes, or John Tavares, who still has a focal point in that offense in Toronto and maybe isn't the sexiest name in fantasy anymore. He ends up getting squeezed down into a 10th round position as well. I'm also seeing Nick Ehlers in the 10th round in Carolina. Nick, Carolina's always been a tricky team for fantasy hockey, but they just won the Stanley Cup, and this feels like a bit of a different Canes team. They still like to spread it out, but the offense is there. This is a very offensive team now in Carolina, so I think I'm more ready to draft Carolina Hurricanes in fantasy hockey, whereas previous years, they were a bit of a stay away for me.
It's funny, when you look at Carolina compared to other teams around the league, it felt like they partied for about 4 days and they're like, okay, let's get back on the saddle, and maybe we shouldn't be shocked at that because of who their head coach is, and maybe they try to repeat. Now, I think there's another team that's maybe a dark horse for Connor Hellebuyck. Like, I think if you're Carolina, you could almost get greedy and say, like, why can't we two-peat? And one position we can definitely rectify, with all due respect to Brandon Bussey and Pyotr Kochetkov, is in the crease. So we'll see on that front. Time for a break. On the other side, the rookie watch begins. Always a fun debate. Don't go anywhere.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. And Pete, I'm going to throw things over to you. The rookie conversation in fantasy drafts is always interesting. We've seen so many iterations of drafts over the years where people jump and they hit. Sometimes they don't. I mean, there's been a lot of examples about that. But how do things play out from a rookie point of view here in this mock draft 1.0?
Very interesting, in my opinion. We knew Porter Marton was going to be right up there with Gavin McKenna, maybe even a slight step ahead because of that category coverage that he flashed with the hits and the shots on goal and the goal scoring and the point production down the stretch of the season into the playoffs. So he goes top 75 overall. That's not a huge surprise. But then to see Cole Hudson, who, again, is on that loaded Capitals team, still rookie eligible after a nice cup of coffee down the stretch. He's on the same team as Jacob Chychrun, so he could still emerge as power play one, but he goes ahead of Gavin McKenna, Cole Hudson at 95. Gavin McKenna, I took him right after the pick after at 96. Interesting debate. I feel like Gavin McKenna has a high ceiling, but so does Cole Hudson. So let's have at it, guys.
It just feels like these kids are coming to the league and having an immediate impact right away. Now, I know there's the special players like Celebrini and Matt Schaefer, and they're kind of in a different level. But even the rest of these guys, Porter Marton coming in late last season, love the fact that he played in NHL playoff games as well. So the regular season might feel a little bit easier for him going into this year. He would probably be my Calder front runner to start the season, but it's going to be a competitive race. And you got Gavin McKenna in there as well, Nick. So look, I'm not usually the guy that likes to go out there and draft rookies. I want to be able to see it for a few years and make a bit of a safer pick. That could change this year. I'd be interested in guys like Porter Marton, maybe even Gavin McKenna in these parts of a fantasy draft. I think they could have monster seasons.
For me, atop the board for rookies, just in generalities going into the season, has to be Gavin McKenna. I don't care that I cover the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't care that he went first overall. I look at Porter Marton specifically, good players around him, but are there players that have the ceiling or the potential that Toronto can give a Gavin McKenna? Like, there's a lot of shelter there, which I think ideally from a fantasy perspective, a young player, you want that. Whether it's starting with Matthews or starting with Tavares or starting with Nylander, you know Gavin McKenna is very, very likely means to play the majority of this 84-game campaign in a top six look, sheltered position. Maybe he gets a sniff on PP1. Like, I think he's going to back himself into a potential to get at least 45 points. Like, I don't think he's going to come out there and get 90 points, but I think McKenna has proven the ability to be a point producer.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think when you're just looking at the scoring ceiling, it's higher for Gavin McKenna. He could have a very similar season as Ivan Demidov last year, hitting the 60-point mark where, you know, Demidov didn't start the season on the first power play. You knew it was eventually going to happen. He gets on that first power play and, you know, his ceiling, you know, is a little bit higher. And I think he could say the same thing for Gavin McKenna. I'm a fan of McKenna. I'm a fan of Porter Marton. I think, again, you go to your scoring settings. If you are playing a league with hits and blocks, Porter Marton, and he's a volume shooter, just like Gavin McKenna, but he may, you know, playing with the superstars that he potentially is going to play with this year, whether it's on a line with Tavares or Matthews, he may defer a little bit more. Maybe we're looking into that too much, but Porter Marton is a guy that's going to touch a lot of categories. I love Cole Hudson here in the eighth. I think the value, you know, where these guys went, Marton in the seventh and in the eighth, McKenna and Hudson, I think that's terrific. Later on down the board, Anton Frundell in the 12th round, I took him, and then Stenberg went to start the 15th round. I don't think that's going to be the case in 2.0. 2.0, 3.0, however many mocks we end up doing here. But to me, those two guys stood out. People are going to reach for the others that we just talked about. But if you can get Frondell in the 12th and Stenberg in the 13th, 14th, 15th, given the loaded top six in San Jose too, I think, you know, you got to feel pretty good about yourself.
So my San Jose stack was an interesting one. I didn't get Celebrini or Will Smith, but I got Sherwood, Jacob Trouba for some monster category coverage for those two, and then I got Stenberg late. So I think you could stack that team later on in your draft, even if you don't get Celebrini or Smith. And then my stack for Toronto was Darren Radish, power play one quarterback who scored 10 power play goals last year for the Lightning. And I got Gavin McKenna as well. So same thing. I didn't get Matthews or Nylander early, but I still got a piece of that I think will be a vaunted Toronto power play one.
And guys, I think now's a really good time. We talked about this, a lot on the podcast, is like even attacking teams that you don't necessarily think are going to be good. The first reason being you never know what's going to happen. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins last season. But number two, there's a lot of fruit on that tree, Jake. And whether you think Detroit's going to be bad or Chicago, like we are going to see some teams that are not maybe in the upper echelon of this league. But I think it's important to stress, like, don't be afraid to go attacking these teams too.
Well, eventually, you got to take their top players, and if they're just going to sit there all draft long, that's probably more of a back end play into the conversation for me. And also just to wrap up the rookie conversation too, and Anton Frondell, love the value on that pick, and kind of just a theme with a lot of things that we've talked about on this podcast. I'm looking at where Porter Martone went, and I'm looking at where guys like Anton Frondell or Ivar Stenberg are going. As much as I love Porter Martone, I'd rather wait. I'd rather take the Anton Frondell or the Stenberg six or seven rounds later than where I have to reach up to take Porter Martone because everybody's interested. So, look, I love Martone. I think he is going to have a great season in Philly. But just seeing how this mock draft is playing out, I'd certainly rather wait and take a shot on Stenberg, who looks NHL ready and could be playing with the big boys in San Jose right away.
Especially if you're going to get him three rounds later, you know, than Frondell. And you know, these two are side by side in our rankings and our rookie rankings, and it's very interesting, I think, the debate between them, because we have seen a little bit of Frondell. There was a small sample size, but as an 18-year-old, you know, he did have more goals than Stenberg in the Swedish Elite League, but Stenberg had more points, and I think that these two should be a lot closer to each other, and they both have interesting, you know, players that they're going to play with in the top six, and the power play should be good. So I think terrific value there. You know, to your point, Nick, about, you know, players on mediocre teams, like the Canucks, Elias Pettersson here in the 16th round, we've been down this road before, but he's actually a guy that touches a lot of categories in terms of blocks and assists and hits. Marco Rossi, I don't believe, was drafted in this league. Brock Besser either. So Filip Hronek, I'm not really seeing him. I think that he went late, but these are guys that the usage rate are going to be pretty high. And say what you want about the Canucks, but Marco Rossi was a point per game player after the Olympic break, and you know his ceiling is pretty high. He's going to have a big role with the Canucks this year.
Last but not least, I think two situations specifically to monitor very closely, aside from Hellebuyck and Dylan Larkin, and again, we're still waiting to find out if anybody wants that Detroit GM job at this point in time, are the RFAs. Like, I think the negotiations continue with Cutter Gauthier and Adam Fantilli. Jake, how do you approach that in generalities when it comes to, especially in the NHL world, it always seems like a couple guys, you know, last things out or wait things out, and we'll see if camp comes around and maybe they sign, but there seems to be a tendency, at least in the NHL world, where people wait and they arrive to camp late and they don't do as well as they think they're going to do.
It is true. We have seen that in so many cases where you kind of miss that early part of the season, you miss camp, you get off to a slow start. I think from a fantasy standpoint, and Meanie, I'm curious your take on this as well, I'm fine drafting these guys, to be honest. I think a lot of people get scared off. We talk about it with injuries as well. Connor Bedard is another name where he's going to miss a chunk of time at the start of the season. People panic about that, and then he ends up sliding down draft boards. I tend to try to find the value in those situations. Okay, if I don't have Bedard for a month, fine, I can live with that, and I'll get him for the important part of the fantasy season. And meaning, when it comes to these RFAs, I sort of just draft them like I normally would and expect them to sign at some point. But Nick is right. Sometimes you do run the risk of a player getting off to a bit of a slow start.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, in a dynasty league, in a keeper league, if I didn't have Cutter Gauthier, I'd be checking in on the owner immediately. Like, you know, I would just be saying, is this guy going to play in the first week? I don't know.
I can but fix I, you. you're just checking in memes.
Oh man, I want this guy. Are you kidding me? Like, I think he's a future 50 goal scorer.
Are you a texter, a caller? How do you GM in fantasy hockey?
I'm a texter. If I have to get on the phone and talk, you know, sweet talk, I'll do it. But I'm more of a texter. You know, I did pass on Cutter here. By the way, I took Phil's boy Matthew Schaefer.
Nice.
But I mean, Cutter, if you're drafting right now, you're gonna find value. Let's be honest. If this guy is signed. Mm-hmm. He's probably going around, for me, Matt Boldy, Cole Caulfield, right after Matthews, Jack Hughes. He belongs to be in the second round as a top 20 player.
I know Alberg is a caller for sure. He's working. He's the double phone Kyle Dubas picture.
Dude, I stopped. Totally. I gave up in my fantasy leagues 3 years ago. My friends thought I was too intense. I've really taken a backseat, man. If you want to trade with me, text me. And I'll
see Nick is like Dubas. He's got two phones on the go.
Well, no, it's like I want to better my roster, but people have ridiculous value in their players. Like, I just, I give up in the conversations.
It's hard to trade. It's not easy.
It's crazy. You look at the risk-reward factor of Cutter. He was taken at 35 in this mock. I got Leo Carlson, who got paid this offseason at 48. I'm certainly comfortable taking Leo there at 48, given what his ceiling could be. Remember, he had that hot start to the season last year where he was well better than a point per game. That's what the ceiling is for Leo Carlson. So maybe sit back around, ignore that Cutter situation in a redraft league and just, you know, pick up Leo Carlson in the fourth round.
I'll be honest, Carlson's on my do not draft list. There's a lot of pressure. Like, if you humanize a situation with that contract to live up to it, not to compare it to Major League Baseball, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having one of the worst seasons in history, and that guy just got paid big time. Like, I think it's important to stress, obviously, Carlson's a phenomenal player, but I do expect a bit of regression, and I wouldn't jump to select him. I'm probably sitting back and waiting, and if he falls on my team, then he falls on my team. But boys, excellent stuff. Pete, everybody can catch this information, nhl.com/fantasy, right?
Yes, we'll have the results of this mock draft on nhl.com/fantasy. And again, you could find, we put all our point projections and goalie team win projections on nhl.com/fantasy as well. So compare and contrast the rankings to the projections and then look at the mock draft. And look at some of these category coverage guys too. Philip Forsberg, Dylan Holloway, Svechnikov all went lower than we thought they would. So you can really capitalize if you look at all these different resources here.
Just like that, summer is over. We're back to our 2-episode-a-week tally next week, Monday and Thursday. So looking forward to that. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. See you next time on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.
This is Steve Covino from Covino and Rich. Quick trivia, fellas. Every guy listening is a contestant. Answer honestly to yourself. You got a belly and a little chest, gassed by the afternoon, no drive left in the tank. You lack that confidence and mental edge. Those are classic signs that your testosterone's been sliding, and nothing drags it down faster than extra weight. So why not take matters into your own hands? Strip off the weight that tanks your testosterone with Byoma GLP-1 Booster. Every serving is packed with science-backed ingredients that crank up your natural GLP-1 production. Visit Byoma.health/GLP-1 and use code CRSHOW for 15% off your first order.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.